Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Pick and Pop podcast. As always, I'm your host, Luke Sicari, and joining me down the line is Damien Arsanis from thepickandroll.com.au. Damo, how are you?
Oh, we're good, and we've got a lot to talk about today, which is great news for Australian basketball.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's funny, isn't it? We're in the midst of the NBA Finals. We're not going to talk about it because it is not that great. But regardless, there's so much Australian basketball going on. I mean, some in America, some here locally, some in Mongolia that we'll touch on, believe it or not, some in Europe. There's Aussies scattered everywhere making waves. But we do want to start. I mean, it wasn't a great segue.
Before we start, let's just call it out. NBA Finals hasn't been great. And there's one common denominator right there. No Matthew Dellavedova.
Oh, it's hard to ignore, isn't it? I mean, it's hard to ignore. And I was chatting to our old friend Chris Tyler just this morning about the NBA Finals. And, of course, Chris hosted the Pick and Pop podcast before I took the reins. Yeah, there's so many factors that goes into it. But at the end of the day, you don't want sweeps in the finals. It seems like we're heading for a sweep.
It is, yes.
It's been, I mean, Game 3 was great. We can remember Game 3. At least we've had one really, really great, entertaining game. But the playoffs as a whole, I mean, only 10 out of 77 games have been decided by single digits. That's it.
And look, a lot of people are pointing to, you know, Kevin Durant making the move across to the Warriors. You're talking about one of the best teams going around, adding, you know, an MVP candidate, quality player, and an all perennial all-star, and they've added him and they haven't really changed much at all. But, you know, we do have to look at the Cavs, and they're missing Matthew Dellavedova. They got rid of him, and that's a major difference.
Well, hey, the facts back it up, so we can't complain it. We'll start off in the NBA. We'll start off with probably the highest... the highest profile Aussie at the moment is Ben Simmons, and this news doesn't come as a massive surprise, but the Philadelphia 76ers, as of this week, Brian Colangelo, their president of basketball ops, officially just ruled him out of the Summer League this season, which isn't, of course, Summer League starts July 7th, so not too far away. No Ben Simmons. Oh, it's not a massive surprise to me.
It's not big news. But
no,
it's
news.
At the end of the day, when you're talking about a number one NBA draft pick, it's big news. And of course, we haven't even seen him step foot on an NBA court. He did step into onto the court for Summer League last year, and of course he was named to the tournament's first team.
Yeah, 10.8 points, you know, 10.8 points, 7.7 rebounds, 5.8 assists. Showcased his as much as you can showcase in the Summer League, his skill set, his versatile skill set, excuse me. So he did show signs in the Summer League last year, but, I mean, you don't want to risk your number one pick in, at the end of the day, for him anyway, is a meaningless tournament. He's not really going to gain anything. He's risking way too much to play in the Summer League.
100%. As you said, no surprise, but it's news nonetheless. And right now, moving forward, particularly to the 2019 World Cup for Australia, he could arguably be the most important player for Australia moving forward. So it's, but having said that, everything sounds like it's moving in the right direction for Ben Simmons right now.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, his rehab's on track, and on track means missing the Summer League, which is completely fine. So by no means should it be misinterpreted as a roadblock in his rehab or anything like that, because it's really not. Well,
if he suffers a setback, it's going to be all over the news.
Yeah, exactly right. So absolutely nothing to worry about, but we thought it is it's big news, so we'll lead off the show with it. Keeping it within NBA circles, I mean, the NBA draft is coming up June 23rd, I think. Might want to double check that, something like that. It's in a couple of weeks. And two Aussies that, two of the best chance Aussies to get drafted is Isaac Humphries and Jonah Bolden. Now, both have taken different paths to get to pre-draft workouts and to get onto the mock drafts. And we'll start with Jonah Bolden because he's the big one. Many have him pegged in the late first round. Of course, he's been tearing it up in Europe, Damo. I know you've watched
a lot
of him, so I'll let you speak on him now. Is this guy, has he got first-round talent?
He is a first-round talent. He's got the NBA body. He's ready. He's a 6'10 big guy that can shoot the three-pointer. Now, when you talk 6'10", 6'11", big guys that can shoot the three-pointer, and who's really athletic and versatile, you're talking the modern game. You're talking the modern NBA. That's what it's all about. He delivers that. And plus, defensively, he's very, very good as well. I guess the key for him moving forward is he a three-man or is he a four-man in the NBA? Yeah. He's coming out and saying he wants to be a three-man, but I've got a feeling he's going to be a four-man. But look, having said all that, in the NBA today, there is no real three-man position. There is no real four-man position anymore. It's very versatile basketball game, and you need to basically be able to play a number of roles. And that being said, Jonah Bolden fits that bill.
Yeah, he does. And, of course, there's an article up now on the pickandroll.com.au where Kevin O'Connor from The Ringer and Olgan Ulich from Fox Sports, of course, previously to Pick and Roll, that they speak about that. They speak about Jonah's versatility, and a lot of teams, that they want that asset of a guy who can play any position. Now, it can work both ways. We've seen many players that have actually never been able to lock in on one position that's proven to be counterproductive. So it can go either way, but I guess it's nice to have that versatility to start with anyway. It's definitely a tick for Jonah. I mean, his consistency on the defensive end can be worked on, but I mean, if you apply the correct mindset and apply yourself to that, that can be fixed quite, not easily, but it can be fixed definitely. Now, Isaac Humphries is another guy. He's been working out with teams across, I think Milwaukee and Denver are two teams that have gone public with his workouts. He's an interesting one. I'm not too sure if he gets drafted. Definitely land somewhere. He'll land somewhere in the summer league. But in terms of his draft stock, it's maybe not as high, only because he didn't play that much at Kentucky. So we're really not too sure. We haven't seen a lot of him, really, at the end of the day.
Well teams haven't seen enough of him, ultimately.
Yeah, exactly right. That's what I was saying. Yeah,
he's got game at the end of the day. But how that translates and how teams view him, they've got limited knowledge base around that because, as you said, he just hasn't played. So those workouts for him and why there's some that haven't been publicised too are so important because, to a degree, those workouts that he's going to are actually going to work in his favour because he's such a highly skilled big man. He really should shine, and that should come to the fore. So he's putting himself in a good position or as good a position as he can, and really it's just going to come down to if a team falls in love with him, they'll take him with a second-round pick. If not, he's going to have to do the whole summer league thing, maybe get picked up for a short-term contract with a view to making an NBA team, much like Matthew Dellavedova had to do.
Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, there is some concerns with Isaac. I mean, he's not very versatile on the defensive end. He doesn't space the floor as, and they're two skill sets that NBA teams covered out of their modern-day big men. So I think he's got some work to do. But, I mean, we've seen the raw talent is there. And like you said, all it takes is one team to fall in love with him in the summer league. He gets that one chance, a la Matthew Dellavedova, and then it can go from there. I mean, we all know Dally was limited in those areas as well. We've seen Joe Ingles is definitely not the most athletic person. So there's plenty of players he can kind of follow the blueprint of. So
there is, but for me, he's 19. You've got to remember this.
Oh, he's very young.
Very, very young guy. Yeah. He's as young as most of the one-and-done players going into this draft. So very, very young player. I personally think, while I'd love to see him drafted, I think he would benefit from a season or two in Europe, extend his range to beyond the three-point line, and just be able to demonstrate that he can hold his own in a really physical league in Europe where there's some quality big men. And I think if he can do that, he's going to walk into an NBA team and be able to contribute. But look, time will tell. He's certainly got the capability to go in the second round, and time will tell.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, like I said, hit the pickandroll.com.au full scouting report from Kevin O'Connor and Olgan as well on those two Aussies. Now, you did mention it there. Maybe you want Isaac Humphries going to Europe. Well, let's head to Europe now, because there are plenty of Aussies making waves over there. Brock Modem's, I know, been absolutely tearing it apart.
Let's start with Brock Modem. Yeah. Brock Modem is one win away from winning back-to-back Lithuanian titles.
One win. So one more.
One win. And look, we're recording this on Friday night. His game is early Saturday morning.
So there you go.
When people wake up tomorrow, we'll know whether he's another championship winner or whether it's going to go to one more game. Of course, it's a best-of-seven series. Right now, they're leading 3-1 against Liet Cabellas, which is Ben Madgen's team.
Yes.
And the only reason why they got a win is because Ben Madgen went off for 18 points.
Yeah. And it's
so
interesting.
Right now, we've got two Aussies going head-to-head in one of the best leagues, national leagues in Europe, and looking like Brock Modem's going to earn his payday as the highest-paid player in Lithuania.
Absolutely. And we all know Brock
Modem. Highest-paid import in Lithuania.
Okay. Just clearing that up there. I mean, as you mentioned, Modem's been absolutely terrific. And Ben Madgen, look at his numbers. They've been a bit down lately, but that's only because he's getting a lot of defensive attention paid to him. It's almost a sign of respect. I mean, he hasn't been able to break that attention, but the opponents, I'm not going to try and pronounce the name, but the opponents have really locked in on Ben Madgen and said, we need to shut you down in order to have a chance to win.
Oh, look, they have. And, as you said, that's great respect for him. But it's not just him. Though, look, Zalgiris Kaunas is one of the best teams in Europe. They're not just the best, the best potentially in Lithuania. They're one of the best teams in Europe. They're a EuroLeague team, which is a step up on where Liet Cabellas has been playing in the EuroCup. So, look, credit to Ben Madgen and his team. It's their first trip to the finals, that team. And, of course, Ben Madgen's been a key reason for that. But, you know, tomorrow morning, all going well for Brock Modem, he could be a Lithuanian champion back-to-back, which will, again, enhance his chances of being picking up an NBA deal. But he's already on roughly $500,000 Australian dollars per season over there. So for him to go to the NBA, it has to be a very attractive offer, or it be that whole, I've got an NBA team I can play for now, which is sort of what David Anderson found himself in. David Anderson held out for an NBA gig because he was being paid so well.
Absolutely. And David Anderson, just probably maybe quickly touch on his performances in Europe this past week as well, because he's been playing up there ever since the NBL season finished up.
He has. He returned to ASVEL Lyon Villeurbanne in France in the French Pro A, and they're the reigning champions. They finished eighth. They knocked off the number one seed in the first round of the playoffs. They're in the French Pro semi-finals. It's locked up in the best of five series, 2-2. They're playing tonight for a spot in the grand final, so Saturday morning time, exactly like Brock Modem. And if they win, they're going back-to-back for an opportunity to go back-to-back in the French Pro A. So no mean feat there. He's been playing a support role off the bench, so he hasn't been lighting it up from downtown or putting a lot of points on, but he's playing his role. And right now, one win is all between him and potentially going back-to-back and putting himself in the same position as Modem.
Very exciting news in Europe. Now, let's speak about an event that you're very, very passionate about, Daniel, I might say. That's the FIBA Free-on-Free Challenger event. And Australia took part in it this past week. They didn't win, which is...
They didn't win a game, unfortunately.
No, but they have helped maybe kickstart the sports interest level back home, because it's a format that, you know, you see a lot on the playgrounds, but in a professional or semi-professional level hasn't really gained much traction here, but maybe with this event it puts it on the map.
Look, I think it's the first step to putting it on the map. So first of all, you had a team led by Luke Schencher, and of course he's a former NBA player, Australian,
the name we all know,
NBL journeyman, 7 foot center. He went across there with Tim Keating, Josh Gallup, the brother of Gallup,
Tommy Gallup
from Sydney,
yep.
and Cameron Springall. And they've all been playing state league in the various states around the country. They came together, qualified, and they went over there with great ambitions. They hit a bit of a harsh reality. So out of the 16-team field, five of the top 15 teams in the world were in this event in Mongolia, of all places. And they really did struggle to win a game. They pushed the local Mongolian team. They ended up pushing the eventual champions quite well in their final game, but they were just too slick. And what they've found out more than anything else is what you need to be a really good 3-on-3 team. And it's come down to not just having skill, but you've got to be super fit, because it's a quick game, but it doesn't stop. And there's only three of you, and it's just constant. There's barely any whistles. There's no sidelines. It's just someone scores, and it's straight back out, and you've only got, 12 seconds to shoot the ball again. So it's, having a 7-footer on their team probably didn't help in this instance, but it's been a great experience. And as you said, potentially kickstart the sport back home in Australia. And, of course, tonight is apparently the night where we should find out whether 3-on-3 is going to be included as Olympic sport.
Absolutely. So there's a lot going on in that format. And Damo, before we finish, we do need to touch on it. The Basketball Australia did this week finalise the GEM squad that will compete next month in the FIBA Under-19 World Cup. Squad of 12, 10 players from last year's gold medal winning team at the FIBA Oceania Championships. But I mean, it'd be, and there's plenty of talent on this team. Very, very talented list of 12 girls. But be remiss of us not to mention the strange omission, we'll say, of Chantal Hovat. She, of course, was the captain and led the team in scoring, or led the entire tournament in scoring, I should add, at the at the aforementioned Oceania qualifying events. So very, very strange. I mean, we know there's been a change of coach, so whether that made an impact, we don't know. Chloe Bibby's in the squad. Annie Malal's in the squad as well. They play very similar positions, but very strange not to have the captain in the team, to say the least.
Well, first and foremost, well, let's go back a step. There's eight players in that team that won a gold medal for Australia, the Sapphires, as the Under-17 World Championship.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
There is some serious talent on this team, and this team has the potential to win a gold medal at this event as well. And you do mention the omission, the relegation, for want of a better word, because as you said, she was the captain of the Under-18 Australian team
who
qualified for this event.
Yeah, it's...
And it is a bit bizarre, and I know that speaking to a few other people around the traps is they've essentially dropped the captain.
Yeah, dropped the captain with no real reasoning.
They dropped the captain, and who was your leading scorer at your last event. So really, really strange. Nothing's come out apart from, you know, Dee Butler's come out. The new coach took over from Paul Gorris, come out and said, you know, it's a tough selection. And you know what? It is tough selecting your final 12 to represent Australia, and it's an honour to do so. But to have no reason, and by all accounts, she's not injured, and she is available to play. So very, very strange one. It'd be interesting to hear some feedback about that. And it's, I don't know what else I can say, but certainly they do travel to that event as one of the favourites to win a medal. And, of course, we're aiming for gold.
Yeah, and we have to, because, it's like I said, it's a talent. It's a talent-laden squad overflowing with real, very, very highly intelligent, highly skilled basketball players at that.
And these players have played WNBL. They're starring in their state league.
Many are going to college.
And when we say going to college, they're going to, you know, we talk about Horvat going to UCLA. Bibby's going to Mississippi State, one of the top two teams in the country. And you mentioned Maley as well. She's going to Oregon, and a host of other players, and some of them have been snapped up by WNBL teams. So that is a super talented team and a team of future Opals.
It is, absolutely. And Damo, we'll end on that note in another action-packed week for Australian basketball, Of course, to keep up with all the latest in the Aussie basketball world, pickandroll.com.au is the place to be. Find them all on Twitter and Facebook and all the other social media channels as well. At pickandroll.au, I believe.
All good, mate. But you can also get Luke Sicari at Luke Sicari on Twitter.
Oh, thanks for that,
Damo. And you can get me, Damien Arsenis, on Twitter as well.
Lovely. Thank you for that little plug there for our individual accounts as well. Plenty of Australian basketball talk through those channels, of course. And until next time, we'll catch you on another edition of the Pick and Pop podcast.
See you next week.